You know that we're studying 1 Peter, and David and I talked about this, and I said, David, how far did you get? And he said, well, I went through verses 17 through 19, but I barely covered it, and you could cover 19 through 21. And I feel the very same way about 19 through 21. In fact, I went back to verse 18 in the reading just to try to make it make some sense, because there are some things in this passage, and the more time that I spend studying this for these Sunday nights, the deeper this book becomes in so, so many respects. And so you look at the text, and the text says, knowing this, he says that you were not redeemed with some corruptible things. And there is that difference between the redemption of something in a slave market or something like that. What's your prize? How does God see you? How much does God love you? Does he love you more than he loves all the gold in this world? Oh, yes. Does he love you more than he loves all the silver in this world? Oh, yes. How much does God love you? And the answer shouts back, you are worth the very blood of Jesus Christ. And there is that special blood of Jesus Christ. But before we look at all of these verses and look at them in more detail, especially verse 21 is where we want to focus our attention tonight. I want to read to you a description of the first century world. I believe if you'll listen as I read this description of that first century world, you'll have an appreciation of the world in which this letter was written and how emphatic it was in trying to help them understand the reality of what they have. And as I thought about that pagan world in which they lived, I thought about the pagan world in which we live. And so this description of the pagan world, and so the heading we've given is Paganism and America's View of God. Listen to this. The pagan world was haunted by the unknowability of God. At best, man could grope after his mystery. Now here's Plato. You've heard of Plato and Aristotle. Plato, the great, great Greek philosopher, says, it is hard to investigate and define the framer and the father of the universe. And if one did find him, it would be impossible to express him in terms that we could all understand. That's the world. You ask the wise men of that first century world, and who has not at least been exposed to some time in their education of these Greek wise men, Plato and Aristotle. And Plato said, it's just impossible for us to investigate and find out who that framer is. There is a framer, there is a father of the universe. But if he did find him, and look at that word if. If you were able to find that framer of the universe, it would be impossible to express him in terms that all, every one of us could understand. And then add to that, even for the philosophers to find God is difficult, and for ordinary man to find him is impossible. Isn't that sort of the world we live in? How can you ever find God? How could you ever know that there is a God? How could you ever have a reality that there is a God? And how could God, if he does exist, how could he ever express himself in a way that anybody would ever be able to understand? And surely the common man would not be able to understand it. And so that's the attitude in our society. Education is everything. If you've got an advanced degree, that means you're better than everybody else on this earth. It means that you have an ability to understand things that the poor common folks down in South Florida, the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, they'd never ever be able to understand. Folks, you're just too dumb. You need to recognize that you would never be able to comprehend God. And that was the mindset of the Greek world. Now look at this reference to Aristotle. Aristotle spoke of God as the supreme cause by all men dreamed of and by no man known. Dream about him, but you could never know God. And while these words will not be expressed by philosophers in our day, the underlying principle behind all that is in our society is, if there is a God, you know, we'd never be able to comprehend Him, and we'd never be able to find God. And you just, well, what is that statement that was made years ago? Don't give me my God in the sky. I want my pie before I die. In other words, that's not reality, but Krispy Kreme donuts is all that matters. And I want to have this world, and you'd never be able to understand the greatness of God. And if you'd ask the learned men of the Greek world and its great influence in the first century world, if you had asked them, tell me, can you find God? The answer is no. And if you did, you'd never be able to understand it. It'd be impossible to verbalize what he said. The ancient world did not doubt that there was a God or gods, that it believed that such gods as there were quite unknowable and totally uninterested in man and in the universe. And that's the great world. That's the world of the first century. In a world without Christ, God was mystery and power, but never love. There was no one to whom men could raise their hands or help or their eyes for help or help or their eyes for hope. That's America. There's no hope in Christianity. It doesn't exist. And if he did exist, you'd never be able to find him. Now look at 2 Peter, look at 1 Peter. Go back and look at the text, and the text says, look, we know that you were not redeemed. This is not a matter of a wish. This is a matter of knowledge. And in the latter part of this lesson, we're really going to drive home the fact that you can know these things. It is true that we were not redeemed with silver and gold, but we were redeemed not with the corruptible things, but with the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. And look at the latter part of that verse. You were redeemed from your aimless conduct that you received from the traditions of your fathers. Where is religious America? Where is Christendom in America today? It's tied to the traditions handed down from the fathers. And when you do all that is involved in that which is unique to all of these traditions that have been added to the Word of God, we need to understand, how pointless is that? You begin to look at some of the rituals. You begin to look at some of the things that are being done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you back away and back away from it, you say, what's that all about? It's aimless. It may feel good for the moment, and it may excite you for the moment, but what real value is it? These traditions, these things that are added to Christianity. You need to understand that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but you were redeemed from the aimless conduct, manner of life that you received from your fathers. And when you begin analyzing this passage, you will come to the realization that He is our priceless Savior, and He frees us from the aimless conduct given to the fathers. Verse 19 says, you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. David did talk about this last weekend, that He is the Lamb of God, and what a perfect sacrifice He was. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Let me give you something to look at, especially if you have an interlinear, have an ability to look at Strong's numbers and look at the word before. There are a host of verses in the Bible that talks about from the foundation of the world. From the foundation means there was that foundation, and then from that point on, is the emphasis where that from the foundation. But this passage says, before the world was ever formed, before God ever said, let there be light, Jesus was there as the spotless, without blemish, Lamb of God, foreordained before the foundation of the world. But here's the point. Plato, you're wrong. Aristotle, you're wrong. He was manifested. You know what that means? It's to make known. The Holy Spirit of God, the Godhead, inspired Peter to write down and say to those people among those sojourners scattered among in the dispersion, he says, write down and you make sure they know that in these last times God has manifested himself. He's not unknowable. If Plato is right, there may be God. God may be somewhere. It'd be impossible for us to ever understand him. He's obviously not interested in what's going on in this world, but he was manifested. And when you look at the word last times, there are no times after this. In heaven there is no day, there is no night. There therefore could not be a week or a month or a year. There cannot really be 10,000 times 10,000 years, because there is no time. The last time that God has is the age in which we live. And I want you to know that he was manifested in these last times for us. Plato, you've missed it. You've missed it. Can I talk to you young people? Your world is so different from my world. But the thing that caused me to make a decision early in my life is the thing that ought to make you make a decision. There was a man who lived on this earth. And you can prove that he lived on this earth as much as you could prove, or more so than you could prove, that Plato or Aristotle or any of the ancient individuals. There was a man named Jesus who lived on this earth. And the Bible says that he was God living on this earth. He wasn't a man. And you read about the account of his life, and he was manifested. And Peter talks about the fact God raised him from the dead. He was manifested by God. And John says, we saw him. John 1:1, in the beginning was, you know, verse 14. The Word was made flesh. And we saw him. And we saw his glory. What'd you see? Oh, John said, I saw the transfiguration. I was there on that mountain, and I saw his body transformed until it was so radiant, even though it was the noonday, it was brighter than the sun. I saw that. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, that's my son. Listen to him. That's not fiction. Harrison, I used to tell my kids stories. I was pretty good at making up horror stories and things of that nature. But sometimes I'd say, now I want to tell you another kind of story. It really happened. And that's what this Christianity is all about. And if there's any message I want to give to you is, he really lived on this earth. And John says in 1 John chapter 1,
Our eyes saw Him. Our hands touched Him. Our ears heard Him. And John said, and it's given us great, such great joy. 1 John chapter 1 said, I'm writing these things to you. He's writing the Bible so that you young people, you young men and you young ladies can have this same joy. And when you were asked, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? I know you meant it. But I beg of you, build your life around the reality. Don't go out here and buy into this aimless lifestyle of this world. It's reality. And the reality is in that man named Jesus. And so the Bible says, and He was manifested. And He was manifested to us in a way that God gave Him that glory that He had. He was just manifested to us. We saw Him and our hands held Him. And how wonderful and how marvelous it was that we had all of these things that He gave to us. And then He begins to say, He was ordained for us. He was manifested for us. And then it says, who through Him, through Jesus, you believe in God. You believe there's a God? There's a man who lived on this earth who raised people from the dead. And He says, the power that I have is not my power. It comes from my Father. It comes from God. If you'd been on that boat that was about to sink whenever He said, peace be still, manifestation of God. If you'd been Jairus' daughter or Lazarus on the other side, and you'd heard the voice of Jesus Christ that brought you back, you'd believe in God. And there were those people that saw that little 12-year-old girl come alive. She really, really was dead. That family really, really was grieving. And there were those two sisters, and their brother Lazarus was dead. And they had embalmed him, and they'd wrapped his body and put it in her grave. And humans saw the eyes, with their own eyes, they saw him come out. We believe in God through him. It's not a fairy tale. He lived on this earth. God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. I want you to imagine when he arrived in heaven, clothed in the clouds. You're talking about a hero's welcome. The Redeemer of all mankind comes to the Ancient of Days, and Daniel 7 says, and they brought him near before God. And God gave to him a kingdom and dominion and power. That's not imaginary. And the church of which you are a member tonight is something that God put on this earth through His Son Jesus. And imagine the glory that He had. And then He says, and all of this is done that you might have faith and hope. We walk by faith. We have that which directs our lives, that allows us to be able to say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what is right. I want you to hear that. In a world that is blinded and everybody has his own philosophy about should you do this or should you not do that, because He was manifested And because He's spoken to us, as He said, the doctrine that I'm teaching is not mine, it's from the Father. I want to manifest to you what God wants to happen on this earth. Here's what's right and here's what's wrong. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt what is absolutely right and what is absolutely wrong. And the end of that is hope. End of that is hope. I was 30 years of age, and my father died. 2 years later, my mother died. How do you deal with that? Young people, you're going to have to deal likely with the death of your father, the death of your mother. I had preached about heaven since I was 15 years of age. And though I could draw the picture, I wasn't ready to go. I'm just too young. I had to, all my life was before me. But when my mother and my father died, let me tell you what hope is. We placed their body in that Maple Hill Cemetery there in Huntsville, Alabama. And I walked away from those graves in those 2 days, separated by 2 years, and at other times, with absolute confident assurance. Mom and Dad, I'll see you again in heaven. You understand God? He came and lived on this earth. And He's our Redeemer. And He's that priceless Lamb that has freed us from the burden and the bondage of sin, and freed us from the aimless lifestyle that we receive from fathers. But above all, He showed me what God was like. And so when Thomas says, "Show us the Father," you know what Jesus said? When you look at me, you'll see what God is like. You want to have your own faith? You take time and read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And you become those characters in those books. I challenge you. This year. To read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And in every story. You'll know something Plato did not know. I know God. I understand God. God has manifested Himself to me through His Son, and He has given me faith and hope for every trial I have on this earth until the day that I die. 1 Peter, written to sojourners. Yes. And that's us. We're simply here marking time until such a time as He returns. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you a faithful Christian? Do you need to believe in Him enough to cause you to change your mind, to repent, that'll bring about a change of your life, that you might confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and let Him add you to the divine church that God started on this earth. Not something some man in his own mind thought up. Well, we think this is what would be good in the church. But the divine work that God put on this earth, and He foreordained it, not from the foundation of the world, but before the foundation of the world. God knew there'd be the church, and thereby, in principle, God knew there'd be the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. You remember the church? The church of the Bible? You need to obey the gospel tonight. If you're an unfaithful Christian and you need to come back, come home, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing.